The benefit for them to be in a great practice, as Roland, is they see efficiency in action. They see what's possible. If you can ever be in a place and see what's possible, you could probably do it. Mm-hmm. So if it's been done, it's probably possible. And if you see it done every day, you know you could do it every day. And that's the value of somebody working in a great practice.
You are listening to the Freedom Blueprint Podcast with your host, Dr. David Phelps. You'll get straightforward advice to transform your practice into a self-sufficient cash machine, compound your net worth, and multiply your cash flow streams with hassle-free real estate. More at freedomfounders.com.
Good day, everyone. This is Dr. David Phelps with the Freedom Founders Mastermind Community and Dentist Freedom Blueprint Podcast. Got today with me a very good friend, Dr. Bill Williams. Bill, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, David, good to hear from you. I'm glad you survived. You're in Texas. I'm worried about you.
Well, thank you, Bill. Yeah, we're just talking about the Hurricane Harvey, which has been recently destroying a lot of the southern part of the state down the Houston area. Being in Dallas, we're far enough north that we really escaped unscathed up here. But we've got a lot of people that have come up from Houston that are being sheltered up here. And we got a lot of people from the Dallas area that have trucked a bunch of stuff down there and are right down there, you know, mucking it out, helping people, you know, clean those houses out.
Yeah, my heart goes out for all the people of Texas and especially Houston. So we're thinking about you and we're sending donations.
Yeah, well, thank you. All that is much appreciated. Well, let me give people a little bit of your background, Bill, which you've got. We were talking a minute ago, and you and your wife Sheila, and your whole family. But you've got such a depth of background and resolve. I've known you for, gosh, 5 or 6 years now. Your character, your family, your faith, the way you've built your practice and gone through the typical, what I call entrepreneurial roller coaster that virtually every one of us have been on, but how you've persevered and what you've done with the blessings you've been given. I think this is really part of the story. So let me just give the background a little bit. My friend, Dr. Bill Williams, is a master of the Academy of General Dentistry. Very few people achieve that level. And the International College of Craniomandibular Orthopedics is highly involved in the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry, the American Academy of Implant Dentistry, the American Academy of Craniofacial Pain, the American Academy for Oral and Systemic Health, and the Dental Organization for Conscious Sedation. He is a past president of the Georgia Academy of General Dentistry and traveled the USSR and Scandinavia on an AGD people-to-people dental tour in 1987. He was named the Small Business Person of the Year in 2005. He received the Ron Lamb Award from the Christian Dental Society as the Outstanding Missions Dentist in North America in 2007, having built and or worked in hospitals, mission outposts, and clinics in Kenya, Tanzania, Haiti, and Honduras. Dr. Williams has lectured at USDI, Myotronics, BioResearch, Napoli, Pentegra, the Advertising Dentist, and the Implant Efficiency Institute, as well as teaching in Japan, Italy, Canada, across the USA on TMJ, orthodontics, reconstruction, marketing, and practice management. Got to take a breath. Okay, here we go. That's very, very impressive. That's only the beginning. Over his 43 years at dentist, he has been the founder, or one of the founders, of the Stone Mountain Dental Group, the Atlanta Craniomandibular Society, TMJ Framework, the Solstice Research Group, Sewanee Dental Care, Web-Centric Dental Marketing and Design, Kenya Medical Outreach and Solstice Dental Advisors, and the Deserving Diva Makeovers. I got to see that, by the way. That was fun. He is a graduate of the Medical College of Georgia School of Dentistry, as well as the AAID Maxi Course in Implant Dentistry and the Mish Implant Institute. Bill's in private practice today, working 2 days a week in the group practice that he founded, Sewanee Dental Care. His coaching and consulting firm, Solstice Dental Advisors, helps dentists discover how to double their practices by implementing proven marketing, management efficiency, and leadership skills. His book, Marketing the Million Dollar Practice, debuted in 2013. It went to the top of Amazon.com as the number one bestseller in dentistry and number 15 among all books on marketing. And he's just published a new book on, fairly new book, on cosmetic and neuromuscular full mouth rehabilitation called Smile 360 with Dr. David Fry. I know a David Fry, but I don't know Dr. David Fry. So that's somebody else under David Fry. That's awesome. That's awesome. Your new book, which I want to talk about today a little bit, Bill, is The $10,000 a Day Dentist. And that will be released, sounds like, in just a couple weeks this month in September. You lead masterminds, dental masterminds. You give online instruction to dentists worldwide. You and your wife, beautiful wife, Sheila, have been married for 40 years now. You've got 2 sons, Will and Tyler. Will is married to a wonderful British lady, Sarah, and they have a daughter, your granddaughter, Harper. Sheila has been intimately involved in all aspects of the dental profession with Bill and is the chief consultant in Solstice Dental Advisors. Sheila and Bill founded Glory City Church, Atlanta in 2011. And the senior associate pastors, having been ordained as ministers in 2012. I don't know how you have accomplished all you've done, and you're still a man of great physical stature. You go, go, go. You got all this energy, Bill. I mean, I just got to start there. What's the secret to having the perseverance and the ability to manage so many different aspects of it, of a really a servant, a giving style of your life? Because that's who you and Sheila are. I know you well. Just give me a little bit on that, then we'll dive in your book.
I think the reason that we are so involved in everything and live life so full is that it's in our DNA. Our family was like that. You know, my dad was like that, my mom, and they gave us an upbringing that allowed us to fully appreciate how it is to be a giving family, a supportive family. Sheila's family is very connected, and mine is very accomplished. And we put those two things together, accomplishment and relationships. It just seems to be a good match. I work hard. I never say no. That's probably to my detriment. I say yes to too many things. But I like to be on the go, and I'm probably a workaholic. I'm trying hard not to be. I work 2 days a week at the office now instead of five.
Jeez, at the office, but I know you're, as I just read on your CV, you're involved in so many other things. So you know, if you want to call it work, you know, I think when you're passionate about what you do, other people might define it as work, Bill, but I think you and I would define what we're passionate about is not so much work, it's just it's what we love to do, and it is in our DNA. So it depends on, I think, perspective there, but you've done so much. Let me ask you one other quick question, and I think we all have this in our background. I would call you and Sheila, you know, very successful in many aspects, your personal life, professional life, your family life. People would look at you and say, yeah, Bill Williams, Sheila Williams, definitely role models in so many ways. But we all know, we all go through difficult times in life, times when things aren't so good. And you don't have to name a specific time unless you want to, but I just want to ask you, how do you resolve when you've done everything that you thought was the right thing to do, you're a man of integrity, you do work hard because that's your character, and doggone it, things just don't work out. I know your faith gives you sustenance there. Faith, what else? What other tips could you give people that, you know, when times get tough, because they will, not just once, but multiple times over a lifetime, what would you tell people?
There's a time when I thought I could do it all myself, and I could plan my life, and I could be the one who decided what I would do to be successful. And I did that for 23 years in Snow Mountain in my first practice. And when it came down to the brass tacks, I decided I was going to turn it over to the Lord and let Him lead me. And so prayer came to be a larger part of our life, and we follow God's will. And when we started to realize that that was the secret to success, everything turned around, and what was a good life became a great life. So I would say, you know, just go to the Lord in prayer about difficult situations. One of the things that I do is I look for mentors who are well-grounded. And when I find somebody who does things better or different than me, I will listen to those people. And so I'm looking for wise counsel all the time.
Let me just take that one step further. I totally agree with you. Totally agree. There's a lot of people that we could say are wise, or they have expertise, or maybe they've had success in a certain element of business or life, or could be marketing or that kind of thing. But maybe they don't necessarily have the same core values. So let me just ask you a question. And again, this is something you and I haven't really talked about, but do you listen to people like that, or do you listen to part of their message? Or, because I'm with you, I like to find people that are a great mentor, have that wisdom, but also they're living a life that I have full respect. And when I say other people that are wise, that may don't have the same core values, I'm not talking about them being bad people, okay? Not bad, not, you know, not nefarious, not fraudsters. I'm just saying, you know, there's some things about their life that maybe, you know, I just don't, it's not part of me. Do you listen to those people at all, Bill? Do you take nuggets from them, or do you dismiss them and just go, nope, I'm going to keep digging deeper with somebody else?
You know, I'm working right now with a business coach, and I worked with Mike Crow in the mastermind we were both in for 3 years. His core values were excellent. And so, you know, I fully align with him. And now I'm working with a fellow, Eric Lofholm, and his core values are aligned very similar. And so I tend to gravitate toward the people who have the same core values as me. I mean, I might listen to somebody and hear what they have to say, but I won't buy into what they're doing if they're not strong. And so I think if you're ever setting yourself up to be in a mentor relationship with somebody, then you really do need to look deeper than just what they have on the surface and what they offer in their classes or courses, because you're going to get what's down deep eventually. And that's what's going to drive the whole package. the core value.
Yeah, I agree. Good advice. Good advice. All right. So I'm gonna go back to what you first said about, you know, starting out your life. Again, I identify with you so much about being, I'm a rugged individualist. I can do this myself. I'm smart enough. I've gotten to this point in life. You know, I can just keep slaying that myself. And like you, I found that was not the best way to go. Your new book, The $10,000 a Day Dentist, it's a great story because it talks about Alex. I'm gonna let you talk a bit more about it, but Alex being a great mentor, someone who helps the hardworking, ethical, rugged, you know, solopreneur, in this case, a dentist, but also gives them guidance, because you talk about the fact that you shouldn't hesitate to seek guidance, because the guide will keep you from stepping into the quicksand in the dental jungle. Only the guide can give you the Swiss Army knife. You need to institute strategies like what you call the gold key list, leapfrog strategy, and more. Some of the things we can talk about a little bit on this call. So what was the impetus for writing this book? Obviously, it's part of what you learned, right? But give me some more background on it.
Yeah, well, you know, I run a mastermind. I've got guys that come in, dentists that come in for a year for a single mastermind. They come in 6 days, 2 days every 120 days. And so I put together lectures, and then we do the hot seat, and we go over their practices very detailed, trying to ferret out what's needed to make them grow. Okay, so I always like to give 2 or 3 or 4 lectures per weekend in addition to the hot seats. And so I put together this one lecture when I did the mastermind, and it was called The $10,000 a Day Dentist. And that lecture was based on the fact that I had a revelation one day that I need to tell people how I do that, because I've been doing over 10,000 a day for 15 years, average. For every day I go to work, that's what I average. Some days it's 8, sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 40, sometimes it's 10. So it just varies. And so I just wrote down all the things I did, and it came out to be 50 things. And if I do 50 things, pretty much guarantee myself to have a $10,000 day every day. And so I wrote down all the things, I put them in a lecture, and I taught them to my mastermind. And lo and behold, within 6 weeks, every one of them was doing $10,000 days.
Wow.
And one guy did 10,000 every day of the month. I mean, it used to be a $10,000 day was like a big celebration.
Right.
Now he says he's a $15,000 a day dentist, and he has $20,000 days periodically. Mm. So it's a teachable event. It's a significant event. I don't think too many dentists average 10 a day.
No, definitely not.
I know a lot that do, actually, because they come out of the woodwork when you start talking about it. And they'll tell you, oh, that's nothing. I can do, you know, so-and-so. But the average guy really doesn't have that ability, because they don't see themselves doing it. And the first point I make is mindset.
Yeah,
if you don't have the mindset.
Exactly what I was gonna, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. Thank you for going there, because I think you're exactly right. We all set limiting barriers, ceilings, if you will, right, Bill? Because our vision is built on just what we know from whatever our world is. And it's just kind of like the 4-minute mile. You know, that was the one that couldn't be broken for all those years, right? Until finally it was broken. And then how many people after that started breaking the 4-minute mile? So talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about mindset. And the people that come to you, they're part of Solstice Mastermind. Do they typically, when they first come, I assume that most of them are not doing $10,000 a day. So they don't have that mindset. So is that where you start?
I never had anybody that joined our mastermind that was doing that much consistently. You know, everybody can hit $10,000 every now and then because the cases add up.
Sure.
But no, it's all about what they believe in their mind. And we really work hard on that one concept. Get the mind right, and the rest of it's going to follow. You got to have follow-up in the team. You got to have other things too. You know, I broke it down into five different things for the dentist to contemplate. Besides mindset, there was facility, and there's team, and there's marketing, and there's capacity. So once you've got all those things looked at, and the book really goes into great detail with each of those, I think if a dentist actually learns how to understand those five concepts, then they can become a $10,000 a day dentist. It's very possible.
I mean, give me some ideas on how you help frame a new perspective, a new mindset. Is it based on the fact that you have done it, or that you know a lot of dentists who have done it, or do they get to watch you do it? Or, you know, how do you help a dentist or any person visualize something that they to date don't feel like that they can do? Because you know, they look at you and they aspire to be you, you know, what I call a decathlon dentist, but, you know, I'm looking at you and going, you know, I don't think I could ever do that. So how do you, you know, if that's me and I really want to do it, how do you break that mold where I'm saying, you know what, I don't think I can consistently do 10,000 a day?
Well, I can tell any dentist that they can do it. Any dentist can do it because you can do it all with one technique if you want to. I do the decathlon dentistry because I believe in being the dentist that can do everything. And I trained in over, you know, 40 years. I went through the orthodontic training. I went through the TMJ training. I went through neuromuscular dentistry, implants, cosmetics, sedation, sleep apnea. So, I mean, it takes time to go through all that didactic work to get to be good in all those areas. So, you know, a young guy coming out of school is not going to do that kind of dentistry. But 20 years, 30 years out, everybody could be doing that decathlon dentistry. A lot of the guys that are doing the best in our group have been in dentistry 30, 40 years. But I would tell you, I know some young dentists that are doing it too.
All right. So you said you could do it with one technique. What do you mean one technique?
You could become an Invisalign guy.
Okay.
And I know there's dentists doing 200 to 300,000 a month in Invisalign.
So they focus on that. They make that a top tier service. They market it. They create, you know, most everything is focused heavily on that. Obviously.
That is a technique that is very, very workable for any dentist because it only takes a very small skill to do Invisalign. You know, that's not one of those difficult areas to become excellent.
All right. So again, I want to use your book as the framework. So every question I ask you, feel free to dig into the book and bring out points of the book for us, Phil. But let's say I'm a young dentist. I'm a young graduate. I'm out of school, you know, just a year, a couple of years, and I'm, you know, $250,000 in debt. Where should I put my focus, Bill? If I want to become, you know, a decathlon dentist, do I focus heavily on increasing my clinical skills? Do I need to focus on business acumen and marketing, or is there a balance there? I mean, give me a little guidance here for that young doc who's looking at the world and going, I need a paycheck because I got to pay some debt and I got a young family or whatever. How would you counsel them? Because there's a lot of them out there today, you know, that are looking for answers.
Yeah, the first thing they ought to do is to go to classes on extending their reach. You really don't have an ability to do anything unless you have skills. Your marketability is minimal as a graduate dentist. And you're not standing out in the community at all if you don't have extra training in something. So you start with one discipline and you just become really good in one thing and then you become good in two things, three things. And so I talk about in my book, you come out of school with about three or four things you can do well. And then you go about five or six things well, and then you get to 10. So you just stack up the abilities one by one. And at some point in time, you're going to have to become an excellent manager, marketer, communicator, and leader. Yep. And those things can't be left behind to the detriment of the practice to doing just education, just a didactic of technical dentistry. A lot of dentists never get into the management. They never get into the leadership, and they certainly don't get into the marketing. You're an excellent marketer. You can make money faster than anything if you have the flow of patients coming through there. So you got to have patient flow. So 100 patients a month is what we've always had a goal for our practice. And when it was just me, that was a little tough to handle. Got another dentist in real quick. But we've had 100 patients or more for probably 15 years. I never went crazy on marketing either. I mean, we just do good marketing. We don't spend, you know, 30% of our budget on marketing. We just spend 5%.
So if I'm a younger dentist, then certainly extend my reach, work on adding skill sets, you know, over a period of time. Don't leave behind the business acumen, the leadership, the communication skills. So should a young doc, do you think, because you and I understand the value of masterminds, you know, and there's all levels of masterminds. There's informal, there's formal, there's those that the investment is higher, but the value's there for those who participate in them. There's other masterminds that would be more entry level. Is that a good place for a young doc to be? And if so, would that be like a dental study club, sort of like you do? Or what, again, I'm just trying to pull from your experience and your wisdom. What would you tell that young doc that they should be a part of if they're, you know, besides the other specific CE that they might be taking?
I didn't get a lot out of dental study clubs that were run in our town, because they're meant to serve the few that run them. I found that the dental study clubs have an ulterior motive, and they're more of a social club. And so you shouldn't look at it as your training ground. Now, we did start one group called the Atlanta Cranial Mandibular Society that was dedicated just to one topic. And that's the kind of study club to belong to, is one that is all about business or all about marketing or all about TMJ or all about implants. But just a general study club of guys around that meet and talk, it's scattered and you don't get depth. So that's my thinking on dental study clubs.
Talk to me just a little bit in brief about the elements of facility, of the five major things in the book, facility. What criteria do you feel like is important in facility?
You know, I feel like I came up with an earth-shattering concept, and I don't think it's ever been talked about. You can tell me. I think that the dental practice should be like an accordion and expandable. If you could design a facility where you could start off small and grow big in the same place and not have to start over three or four times in a career, that would be the most ideal thing, because you would save yourself so many iterations of design, building, and moving. And so I hit upon that in my last move. I started out in 1,200 square feet and moved to 1,500 when I first got in practice, and then I built a huge thing that was like 8,000 square feet. Then I moved back to a 1,200 square feet when I sold that business. And then I moved to a 3,000 square feet. And then I expanded to 4,000. Then I expanded to 10,000. And so the last time, being in the same place but being able to expand into extra rooms was such a benefit to me. I could add dentists without having to go to a new building. And so that's one of the keys. And I talk about facility being the bottleneck. If you're in a two-operatory practice, you have limited your income. You have a bottleneck. So you can't add associates. You can't have more than two patients at a time, and it just doesn't work. And so I travel all over the world, and I see dentists in Europe working out of one and two chairs. I see six dentists sharing five chairs in a single building. And it's just like they don't have a concept like we do. And so in other countries, it's just not the same model. So I think having an expandable clinic situation where you can grow extra rooms when you need them is very important as a dentist that's building his first building.
So if you build that first building, Bill, and you build it so that until you need that additional space to move into, you build it so what you can maybe possibly lease out that space and then have it convertible relatively easily when you want to expand in it. Would that be the game plan?
Yeah, that's probably the best plan, is to have it income producing until the point you need it. And a lot of people who build a building that's bigger than what they need and then move into it.
Yeah.
You might not want to move into it, but if you ever got the desire to, it wouldn't be any sweat. Because every time you add an associate dentist, you're going to add $100,000 to $200,000 of bottom line income to your bottom line as an owner. So that's just an attractive number. If you just look at how many associates could you put in a building? You know, one, two, or three. I decided three was as many as I could do. I didn't want to do a bigger facility or a bigger number of dentists than four dentists in our practice. So that's kind of my goal when I finished up, is staying at four.
So let's dive in that a little bit, because you know, having associates in the office is dependent upon obviously facility, capacity, marketing, dependent upon one's leadership, team, the culture, so many aspects. All those things have to be there to actually say that associate can bring in X amount of dollars per month or per year. But you know, you've done it. So let's talk a little bit about associates. Let's start out with say if a young person's coming out of school with that kind of debt, and they don't have the wherewithal and probably shouldn't be starting a practice. They have today, they have corporate America. They can go there, or they could find, or maybe another a private practitioner. What would you suggest a young doc do? And then we'll turn around from your standpoint and say, no, you're the senior doctor. You're looking for associates. Kind of make this a win-win for me both ways is what I'm looking at, Bill. Can you make it a win-win? We've got a need out there both ways. We've got a need for senior doctors who want to maybe phase out or expand like you have. And we've got a lot of young doctors coming out that are not going to be able to do startup practices. So build me a conversation there that brings those two together.
All right. The ideal dental associate for me is one who's been through a residency that can do implants and IV sedation. Top by far the best associate a senior dentist can get to grow the practice, because those guys come out of those residencies capable, word capable. They have capacity. It takes years to get capacity if you have to grow it homegrown. And so I'm picking the cream of the crop if I'm trying to get somebody to come into my practice and be instantly productive, already over the hump, you might say, because doing implants and doing IV sedation is not for the, you know, faint-hearted.
Right.
And so I know that the character of these people is that they're going to be somebody who'll challenge. They're not afraid. So I'm going for that kind of a bottom line person. If I'm a dentist getting out of school and I'm able to get into a residency, I'm doing it. You'll make three times as much money in a career if you have your residency and your training than if you don't. Because you're able to hit the ground running and you're able to do the bigger cases. You know, you treat the phobia patient if you're an IV sedation person. And that's 30 to 40% of the people out there who are phobics. Nobody else will be able to touch if they're not going to get treated. A general dentist that doesn't have any sedation skills, they miss the boat. And the IV guy doesn't. And I don't do IV. I trained on it, but never tried to get the license. And so I do oral conscious sedation. And I get about, you know, 80% of the people that would like to be treated. And I'll do it. And then I'll send others to my associates if they want to be IV sedated. So I'd get my conscious sedation immediately if I was anybody out there. And I would go for IV if I really wanted to be in that area.
So if I'm a graduate and I have gone through a residency program and I have those skill sets in sedation, implants, what's in it for me is that young graduate to come be an associate with you? And are we talking about pure associate? Would there ever be a time when you would bring on someone as a partner? Or if not, how do you keep a good doc like that as an associate? Because you said they don't have fear, they don't have phobia. What's in it for them? How long do they typically stay?
You know, I always tell dentists to talk about associates, say it's good to get associates, but they never stay and they never buy. You know, there's going to be a time where they all leave. So you just need to know they all leave. Some of them will stay 5 years, 10 years, but there seems to be a time about 10 years where they all want to go do something of their own. And I'm kind of like that too. I'm a 10-year person. I taught TMJ and orthodontics for 10 years. You know, I traveled the world and did multi-level marketing for 10 years. You know, I did missions to Africa and did trips to Haiti and all that for about 10 years. So everybody has their natural time element. They like to do stuff and they get tired of doing it. They want to go do something new. And I'm like that. And I've been teaching marketing now for, you know, 8 or 9 years. So I'm not getting tired of that, though. The building of a practice, and this is kind of like the end game for me, is to teach dentists how to do what I'm doing. Your question's a good one, though.
Well, I know it comes up, and I think as an owner, you have to be very decisive about what you want. You need to lay those expectations out, and you know, definitely if you've got a great practice, and I would want to come be an associate with you, knowing who you are, because I know my time spent with you, my return on that time spent with you, outside of the income I would make being in a great practice, would be, you know, almost immeasurable. Now, again, like you said, you know, how long does that last? You know, down the road, 10 years, so. No, I think that's a good answer, and I just think it's good for both sides to have that in place and realize there's got to be a value both ways to keep that relationship long term. And when time's up, the time's up, and you both are prepared for that. Let me ask you a little bit about. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to expand on that associate. Okay. The benefit for them to be in a great practice is rolling, is they see efficiency in action, they see what's possible. If you can ever be in a place and see what's possible, you could probably do it. You know, Omer talked to us about that one. Mm-hmm. So if it's been done, it's probably possible. And if you see it done every day, you know you could do it every day. And that's the value of somebody working in a great practice. The marketing's good and they have constant patient flow. That's a nice thing.
Yes.
So thunder and lightning here in Georgia, you hear it?
Not yet. It's getting exciting, huh? Tell me a little bit about the social media intensive training for dentists in the dental teams right now. It's called the Social Growth Factor. The Social Growth Factor. What's that look like? What have you built there, Bill?
You know, I kind of feel like we need to have something for the staff to latch on to some of the things we're doing. And I talk at a high level to the dentist, and I haven't focused that much on training staff. And so I put together a program where the dentist can kind of offload from himself the responsibility for some of the marketing, especially in the social media arenas, for the staff to do things that will really pay back big dividends. And I found some good automation and some delegation tools. And so I just put together a little training that will probably, you know, benefit a dental practice that does it 4,000 or 5,000% of what they have to pay to do it. I mean, it's just a huge benefit for what I'm going to offer it for. It's almost like I'm giving it away because people need it. And that's a social growth factor, which is kind of a mirror of what I do in my practice. See, a lot of people are always asking me what I'm doing to be so successful. And I go, well, I don't know. I just do what I do and I'll show you what I do. And that's kind of what I've done with this little program, is showing people how I live life, how I approach every day. You know, it's part of the $10,000 a day that I market a certain way. So I'm just kind of focusing on the marketing with this little piece.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll put the link in the show notes so people can go there and check that out, the social growth factor. Well, Bill, gosh, it's been a pleasure. As I knew, we would only barely crack the surface of who you are, what you've done. But I think more importantly, you know, how much you offer, you know, as a servant with your wisdom in the dental industry. I want people to be able to find you. So the website is Solstice, that's Solstice, dentaladvisors.com. And if you're interested in looking at Bill's mastermind that he alluded to earlier, it would be solsticedentaladvisors.com/mastermind. Easy to remember. And then Bill, your personal email is drbillwilliams@gmail.com.
I'm glad to talk to anybody on the phone or through the email, any dentist that wants to discuss anything. I'm totally open to talking with them.
Well, I know you're that way. You've always been that way. You've been a huge, huge giver in so many ways in your life, and much, much appreciated. And I appreciate our friendship and relationship, and want to keep doing things with you for the time to come, because you bring so much wisdom and experience to the world, not just in dentistry, but in all respects. So it's been a pleasure.
Let me tell you, audience something. They probably hear you talking all the time. They know what you do with the real estate, but I just want to give you a plug for really helping us along. We put a lot of our effort in the last 5 years into what David teaches as part of his mastermind. We diversified our portfolio. We got into some real estate and some real estate lending, and we just have really reorganized some of the thinking about how we want to protect ourselves for the coming days, because, you know, days are coming. So thanks for you're guiding the dental profession in a way that's going to protect a lot of people from the outcomes that others won't be protected.
Well, that's our goal. I always say plan for the best, but, you know, prepare for the worst. Just meet in the middle somewhere there. Don't go crazy. There's some things we can all be doing in our lives, and I think that's what we do. So, Bill, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Great talking to you today, and we'll see you soon.
Okay. Thanks, David. Be well.
Take the next step at freedomfounders.com. You've been listening to another episode of the Freedom Blueprint Podcast with Dr. David Phelps, the place to be to create your freedom lifestyle with more time off, security, and peace of mind. More at freedomfounders.com.